We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Well, thank you so much for being here tonight on behalf of the parents and the little ones who will not stay little very long, who will grow up to be big ones. Thank you for coming out, church, and supporting them. This is an important night, and Pastor Chad was making fun of his wife and saying how important it is. I even put a suit on, guys. I mean, this is a this is a big deal, okay? And we don't want to minimize what is happening here, but it's also a special time. It's a significant time for many of our parents who are here tonight. And you know, it's interesting to me. Every baby starts off the same way, you know? They're all cute, right? In a little, in a few minutes, all the little babies will be up here. Little pictures are going to come on the screen. Aw, baby. And it's not long, and it's like, oh, what happened, right? Babies are so innocent and sweet, right? Right? Amen. Okay. But don't be deceived. Children are sinful. They're little sinners. And no child is perfect. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15 that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I saw this in my life with my own two boys, and my son Nathan's very nervous tonight. He's here, and I said, hey, you want me to dedicate you tonight? And he's like, only if you'll hold me, Dad. And, well, that's probably not going to happen. But I distinctly remember when his brother, who was considerably more rebellious, I might add, I remember when he was about 9 months old, we had a little decorative house ornament on our coffee table. And we just didn't believe in child-proofing our home. We didn't go for that. Like, we just told our kids no, and if they didn't listen, then there was a way to make them listen. We just weren't going to child-proof our home. And so Michael was making his way over to this ornament, and I said to him, no. And his little head whipped around, and he looked at me, and I could see what was going on in that little head of his. And he flipped back around and started to move back to the coffee table. I said, Michael, no, don't touch. He looked at me. He put his hand over the ornament and then looked back at me as if to say, I'm not touching it, but I want to. I said, if you touch that, I'm going to spank you. He just kept his hand there for a few minutes. Then he pulled his hand back away and kind of scooted off the table. And it was at that moment that I realized he's just like his mom. I will be needing a place to sleep tonight if you have a spare bedroom. If you know the Adams family, you know that that did not come from his mama. That came from his daddy. And every child is going to have a bent in them towards sin. That's just the way they come packaged that way. I know grandparents think, you know, their kids are perfect, but the truth is, even your little grandkids, they're little sinners, you know? And every child, as they grow and develop, is going to look to the picture that God has set up for a child to look into, and that is the home into which they are born. And if you're a parent here tonight, I'm speaking to you, but if you're a parent who is dedicating your little blessing, would you just slip your hand up if you're here and you're dedicating your blessings? Okay, so all around the room. I'm really talking to you guys tonight. Everyone else here, they're just here, and you're going to see why they're here at the end of the service, but I'm really speaking to you guys. Now, the church gets the benefit of all this, and there's a reason for that, but I'm really speaking to you guys tonight. And I want you to hear this, what I'm about to say, because I heard this phrase too late in my life. I wish somebody had shared it. I wish I had been more diligent in my reading, and I wish I had had this statement in my life long before it came to me, and that is this little phrase, that more will be caught than taught. More will be caught in how you do life than taught. You can spend hours teaching, but they're actually going to catch more of what's going on visually than all of your time trying to give them this amazing, awesome lecture, okay? Actions in the home speak louder than words. Children are amazing at detecting hypocrisy and inconsistency. Children will learn more, far more about God and form opinions about life from mom and dad in the early developmental stages of their life. Please note this tonight, dear parents, those of you dedicating your little blessings. The older they get, the harder it will become to teach and train them. The older they get, the harder it will become for you to teach and train them. Just talk to a teenager. They already know everything, okay? It's harder. It's more difficult. If you think, well, I'm going to wait to start putting biblical principles into practice until they're like 3 or 4, that is a bad plan. The time to start is now. God knows in the day and age in which we live that we need godly parents who will teach, instruct, admonish, correct, and lovingly lead children. God knows that we need faithful moms and dad who will lead their children to do what is right. The Lord knows. You, parents, you are capable of fulfilling this responsibility. The question is, will you choose to be obedient to that which has been harnessed under your responsibility? I want to read a text to you. It is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 19. Genesis 18, 19, one verse. God, speaking of Abraham, he said this very telling, very insightful statement about Abraham. Notice the relational aspect. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham and Sarah, I have to tell you, were not perfect parents. Did you guys know that? And to the children in here who are older, maybe grown in your teen years, or maybe you're in a situation or a circumstance with your parents, can I just tell you that it's the first time your parents have ever been parents? Okay? When you're grandparents, you're getting the second turnaround, right? But sometimes there's this moment where, as children, when you're growing up, you're looking at your mom and dad and you're like, when I grow, I'm never going to be like that. Okay, go with that, okay? See how that works for you, all right? Your parents are learning this as well. And Abraham and Sarah were not perfect parents. The wonderful thing about the Bible is that it is full of people who are just like you and I, sinful. People who are transparent, people whose lives are on display for us to see. Abraham and Sarah had their fair share of problems. But there was one thing that God knew, and that was that Abraham was going to do what was right. And parents, tonight, this is the goal, that you tonight are going to say publicly before this congregation that I am going to do that which is right. God knew Abraham's character. He knew that he would take the responsibility and lead his home. And what is so encouraging is that even as imperfect as we are, we have a perfect, loving Heavenly Father who has given us all we need to help us teach and train our children. If you're saved tonight, parents, those of you that are dedicating your children, especially, you're saved. Your testimony speaks of that. You have two of the most powerful weapons available to you. You have the Spirit of God inside you, and you have the Word of God in your hand. If you got no other book, if you never read another book by any other doctor or any other person, any other preacher, you have all you need in the Word of God. All that you need. Parents, you have the responsibility of training and leading your children. So as a reminder to all of the parents here, and specifically those who are dedicating their young ones tonight, let me take just a few moments now and make sure that we get God's perspective on what it means to raise children. Number one, please know that children are a gift from God. That was a great spot for parents to say amen. Not one parent said amen. Let me try that again. You guys got to encourage these new parents here, guys, okay? Children are a gift from God.
Amen.
Okay, they're the gift that keeps on giving and taking. Nathan said to me the other day, we were driving down the road, he said, Dad, where would you be without me? And I didn't get a word out of my mouth, and he said, rich. you so owe me lunch, son. Psalm 127:3 says this, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is what? His reward. Children have been given to us as a gift by God. They are to be looked upon as a reward, a precious and a priceless gift. How you view your child, how you look at them. I hear parents say, oh, my kid's such a pain in the blessed assurance. You know, he's just such a, he's the scourge of the family. How you look at your children is going to greatly determine how you treat them. When you look at your child, parents, you need to see a gift. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? God gave us the gift of his son, and he also gave us the gift of children. The important thing is to understand that if you don't see them as a gift, your training, your teaching, how you treat them, all of this rides on how it will impact them. You know, this gift, these gifts that have been given to us, these children, and aren't children special? I know some of you were here tonight and you weren't able to have children, but children can still be a blessing to you and can still be a gift. Now that we're empty nesters, I love to be around kids because when we're done, I just give them back. It's like we were the other day, we were swimming and some of the people were there we knew and they were playing and their girls were jumping. I was throwing them around and it was time to go home. I got in the truck. I'm like, I'm glad that's over. Go home to mom and dad, you know? Now the point is this gift, these gifts, they require a few things, okay? And here's what they require. Moms and dads, listen up. Let me give you three things, what every child needs, okay? Number one, they need attention. Don't turn your back on them for 2 seconds, especially when they're little, okay? Attention. They need your undivided attention. I don't know how to get through to you on this point. I've tried for years. And the only way I can do it is to say it again. They're only little once. I could stand here for an hour and repeat that statement, and some of us still wouldn't get it. They're only little once. You are not getting that time back. I don't care about your job, your appointment. They are only little one time. That's it. They need your attention, mom. They need your attention, dad. Like, I'm tired. I don't care. They need you. They need you to turn off the TV, shut off the computer, turn off your phone. They need your attention because pretty soon they're not going to want your attention. And they will find it from somebody else. And when you get old and you want their attention, you will have communicated to them in their early years that they're not important. They need your attention. Squeeze as much time into them as you can. Make them a priority. They need your attention. Number two, they need your affection. Children need to know the joy of physical, proper loving touch. They need hugged. In our home, we had a thing called a squeezer. We don't do squeezers anymore. It hurts. Some of my best memories or when I would come home and my children would run and jump up to me and they would give me a squeezer and kiss me on the cheek. When I saw Nathan at the airport, we didn't do such things now, but the older they get, the harder it is to give affection. It's tough. It's not easy. Get it in now. Get it in now. Number three, children need affirmation. They need affirmation. And this is what God did. When Jesus was baptized, the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You need to affirm. And don't think, well, I'm going to keep affirming them until they leave the home. They continue to need it. Do you know how many men in their 40s and 50s and 60s I have talked to said of what I would give for my dad just to say I did a good job? What I would give for my mom just to acknowledge that I actually did something right for once? What I would give just to have a little bit of affirmation in my life? Reassure them of your love. Provide for them security, protection, constantly. Encourage them. What's the next thing I'm going to say? Encourage them. You should be, parents, are you listening? You ought to be the greatest source of encouragement aside from the Holy Spirit in your child's life. There ought to be such positive, impactful encouragement coming out of you to your children. Affirm them. Now, ultimately, children do belong to God, right? Amen. Ultimately, children do belong to God. Amen. We understand this. And we as parents and adults would do well to keep this in the forefront of our mind because of this fact, which is point number two, children must be guided by God's word. You have what you need to lead them. This is what God knew Abraham would do for his children. This is perhaps the greatest need in the life of a child. Children must be taught and trained in the word. They must be discipled. The root word from where we get the word discipline, to disciple them. It will be their foundation for the future. It is us as parents, it is our responsibility to fulfill this role. Listen carefully, not the church, not the school, not the youth group. So I brought my kid to youth group. Your kid came that way to youth group. Can I get a witness? Chad's about to have a Baptist movement over here, okay? Don't look at the church and say, well, it's the church, it's your job. You're not going to stand before God, parents. Listen, you're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, let me get my church in here. No, God gave you this little one. One of the hardest passages of Scripture about this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3. There was a man, he was a high priest. His name was Eli. He had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible says that his sons knew not the Lord. Now, here's the picture I want you to see. These boys were raised in and around spiritual things, and yet they had no personal relationship with the Savior. Just because you have your child in church doesn't guarantee they're a Christian. Parents, don't make the mistake of thinking that just because your kids are around Sunday school or go to a youth group activity that somehow they're miraculously going to turn out right just because of that. I think the biggest problem we've had in Christianity over the years is that we've raised our kids in church, but we haven't raised them in Christ. We haven't raised them in Christ. Churches are going to come and go. Your kids are going to grow up. They might not even end up in the same denomination. It isn't about the church. It's about being raised in Christ. And so let me give you a couple of thoughts here on this. Parents, you have to take a proactive role in the life of your child. Don't shirk your responsibility. You've been given the responsibility, and you are to have the major source of influence over the life of your child. Listen carefully, not somebody else. It's not somebody else's job to raise your child. It's your job. It's your job. Your influence in the life of your child is pivotal. It's pivotal. And then, parents, if I could encourage you here, those of you dedicating your child tonight, do something. Place a desire in their life for the things of God. Now, when I was growing up, when you went to Sunday school, if you were a good boy or a good girl, you got a piece of candy. Now, the terminology for that we call bribery, right? I mean, I guess that's right. I mean, but there is some truth to this. It was a common thing in Hebrew days that when children were taken to the synagogue, upon entering into the temple to worship, the children would be able to dip their fingers into the honeypot. Can you imagine that happening today? I mean, you just have moms freaking out because they couldn't get the hand sanitizer and all that. You know, what is going on? I mean, you got Becca Wallace back there freaking out. I mean, like, what is happening? And you got these kids just, whoop, can you just see it, you know? And they would take a scoop of honey as they went in, and they would take a scoop of honey as they would leave. And why? Because they wanted those children, the idea was to associate sweetness with the learning of the Word of God. Parents, you need to encourage your children about coming to church and learning the Word. Make church life and learning an exciting, fun, and enjoyable experience. Listen, if you sit around and badmouth the church and the preacher, your kids are going to grow up to hate you and the church. Because they're going to see you sitting in church, and they're going to say, you're such a fake. You act this way at church. You're the big person at church, but I see how you are in the home. I don't want your God. I don't want your Jesus. I don't want that. That's hypocrisy. Make church enjoyable and fun and learning and a blessing and a benefit. Teach your children the importance of being around God's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart." Notice carefully verse 7, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and on the gates." Do you understand what's happening here? Surround your children with the Word of God. Saturate them in the Scriptures. Children need to be taught a proper perspective, a proper response to God. So let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Number one, teach by example. Teach by example in verse 6. "These words which I command thee this day." You lead. You teach by example. Number two, teach with enthusiasm. Teach with enthusiasm. Nothing worse than going to a Bible class, and I'm grateful for our children's ministry leaders here in our church. I am so grateful. Sometimes I listen to what's going on, and they're excited about the Word of God. Nothing worse than coming in and going, "Today we are going to learn about the hypostatic union of the..." Listen, Mom and Dad, this book is exciting. People say, "It's boring." No, you're bored with it. It needs to excite you, exhilarate you, and teach it to your kids. Teach it with enthusiasm. How many of you know what I mean when I say there's always teachable moments as a parent? You're going to get one tonight. If you're a kid, if you got kids, you're going to get a teachable moment. Something's going to happen. You're going to be on your way home in the car. Something's going to happen. You're like, "Oh, here's one of those moments Pastor was talking about." Right? Teach the Word of God at that moment. Teach by exhortation. Encourage them. Talk about the Word of God as you go about your daily business. Bring the Word of God up in conversation. And then number four, teach with endurance. Can I tell you something, parents? Your kids aren't always going to like the things that you teach them. You know what the danger in this society is? And in our culture, we have this horrible problem. It's like, all right, some of you are going to hate me after this. Okay? Everything is about, did the children have fun? How many of you know that it's not always fun? It's not. If you make fun the acid test, you're going to have a horrible time in life. Life's not always about fun. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will" what? Not, say it. Not depart from it. Now, can I just unpack this for a second? First of all, this verse is not an unconditional promise. It's not. This is not an don't run to this and go, "Oh, this is a promise." It's not an unconditional promise. It's not push the right buttons, get the right kids. Okay? It's just not. Don't do that. You'll be disappointed. Just because your child's around spiritual things doesn't mean they turn out spiritually. Okay? Some of us know this firsthand. We get this. I want you to notice what the text says. The text says, train up a child. not teach up a child. There is a huge distinction in the word teach and train in the Hebrew. To teach something is to disseminate knowledge. To train is to model an example for them. Your children need to see the example in you. They need a living example of the truth of God's word on display in your life. That's what it means to train. You go first, you example, you model, you show, you demonstrate. Just you sitting down and spewing out knowledge to them is not following the biblical pattern. Just putting them in a Sunday school room is not following the biblical pattern. Listen, several years ago, I had gone down to Lowe's, and this is several years ago now, and I had to get a part for something. And I didn't realize it at the time, but when I got the part, there was like a plastic PVC piping, and there was another piece stuck inside of there. So when I got up to the register, the lady rang me up for one. I got in the car, and both of my boys were with me, and we got in the car, and Michael looked over, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, look at that. You got a sweet deal." I said, "What?" He goes, "You got two for one." And I was like, "Actually, I need to go back in and pay for that." He's like, "What? You got a good deal." I was like, "No, son, that's actually called stealing. Bible kind of talks about that a couple places, I think." He's like, "Oh, so what are you going to do?" And I'll never forget this. I said, "I'm going to go back in the parking lot. I'm going to walk back up to the lady, and I'm going to tell her that I ended up with two and I should have only gotten one." He goes, "Can I watch?" I said, "Yeah." So he walked right in, follows me in. I said, "Hey, man, we were just here." He said, "Yeah." I said, I had one of these. I got two." And she looked at me. She leaned up and she got real close and she goes, "They're $1.40. I said, "I know." She goes, "They're $1.40. I said, "I know, but I just need to pay for it." She's like, "If you must." I learned something that day. It didn't matter what I felt or thought. I needed to do what was right. Amen. Yes, amen. Somebody's watching you. Your kids are watching you. I'd like to tell you that I always pulled it off like that. Can I tell you, I've had more failures than success. I've had far more times when I've looked back and said, "I totally blew that, Adams. I totally could have taken that, and I didn't do it right on that day, but I got a couple under my belt, and that's one of them." And it's important your children see that. Because number three, children need to see godly examples in their parents. They need to see it in you. This generation needs to see adults, moms and dads who are broken and surrendered to the Lord. When's the last time your children saw you weeping and crying and praying? When was that? You see, parents, you can teach your children something all day long, but training them means you're demonstrating the truth to them. You, in essence, become the living example to your children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You know what the word nurture there means? Discipline, correction, chastisement. I know, here we go. Some of you are going to hate me even more, but I actually think it's biblical to spank your child. In a loving way, the way the Bible criteria lays it down. And if you're one of those parents like, "Well, spanking doesn't work," you're probably not doing it right. I'll leave it at that. Let me just say this about discipline. Parents, those of you that have little ones, I want to give you a word here. It's called balance. Here's something a guy told me, a mentor told me, a friend of mine, he said this to me. "Todd, try to tell your children yes as much as possible. As much as you can, tell them yes." See, the problem is we can go so hard one way and push them away, or we can so go easy on them and they have no respect for authority. We provoke our children to anger and discouragement when we are inconsistent and hypocritical. We discourage our children when we are negative and compare them to other siblings in the house. "Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister?" Okay. Sure will. Right? And this leads us to this next thought, which is children must be allowed time to grow. Parents, I want to take these last few moments before you come up here with your little angels. And I want to read this verse to you out of Luke 2:52 that says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Did you know that your kids are not perfect? How could they be? They're born to you. Obviously, your children need time to grow and develop. They need time to be a child. There needs to be an understandable agreement between you and your spouse. What is childish behavior and what is sinful behavior? What is defiant and what is they just didn't know? Where's that line at? Obviously, you can become a passive and permissive parent and dismiss and excuse all their sinful behavior and indulge your child's every desire. There are far too many children today like that, like the sons of Eli, who basically run the home and the life of the parents. Let me just say it this way. God's goal in raising a child is to have a Christ-centered home, not a child-centered home. Amen. A Christ-centered home. The point is simple, and the precept comes from Proverbs 22:6 when it says, "In the way they should go, the course, the road, the path, the bend that is suited for them." Each child will have an inclination to certain things that they are interested in. Some of you parents, you're wanting your child to get into sports and you're pushing them to be in sports and they don't want to play sports. They want to play chess. And you're like, ugh. Some of you are afraid of that. Maybe your child has a bent toward a musical thing. And listen, every child's going to have an inclination. They want to explore things. They want to try things. My son here on the front row, Nathan, he loved martial arts. He got a black belt. He was accelerating. He was doing great. He was doing really well. And we're taking him to lessons, got here to the States. He's continuing. He's going well. You like it? Yeah, Dad, it's great. It's great. It's great. One day I get in the car. He's getting his uniform on. He's getting all decked out in his gear and tying his belt. And he looks at me and he goes, "I don't want to go anymore." I said, "What?" He goes, "I don't want to go anymore." I said, "What do you mean you don't want to go anymore?" He said, "I don't want to go anymore." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Nothing happened. I don't want to go anymore." I said, "Well, I don't understand." He goes, "It's okay." I said, "Well, did somebody do something?" "No." "Why do you want to go?" "Dad, I don't want to go anymore." "Okay." I asked him a couple years ago, "Why didn't you want to go?" He goes, "I didn't want to go anymore." I go, "Okay, that's the answer." By the way, your children need time to develop their own relationship with the Lord. Please don't try and live your life vicariously through your own kids. Allow Christ in you and in them to discover God's will for their life and then help them excel at that. And so as I close, let me give you Psalm 127:4 that says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." In this comparison of arrows, number one, children need to be prepared. An archer, before he fires a bow, will take time to prepare the arrow. The years go by quickly. Make the most of your time. Teach them well. Don't get impatient. The days, parents, please listen. The days can seem to last forever, but the years go by quickly. The days will seem to last forever, but the years, they go by quick. And they need prepared. Those arrows need work. You want them to fly straight and accurate and true. Number two, children need pointed. They need pointed. They need to know the truth. They need to be shown the truth. They need sharpened. They need pointed toward Christ. This is the target. This is what we're going for. Pointed toward Christ. And parents, your children need you. The last thing I want to share before we transition and invite the parents to come is this. Children need propelled. There will come a day when you will release that arrow from the bow. That day will come on you faster than you think. It will be here sooner than you know. It is a struggle. It is difficult. You will need the grace of God. You will need people in your life to help you. And this point is the hardest point of all. To let them go from your bow. In just a few moments, the parents tonight who are dedicating their children are saying, we're giving our child back to the Lord. They are saying, we only have these children in our bow for a little while, but we know that ultimately they belong to you. And one day, we will be releasing them. And so the prayer is, Lord, may they fly straight, and may they make an impact for your glory.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.